Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Jinxie, it's only a couple of weeks until our live show.
Oh my God, it's really coming up. It's creeping up, the highlight of Q1.
Very direct reminder, if you haven't bought your tickets yet, now's the friggin' time, baby.
It is for See Also Al Fresco. It's our live podcast. It's happening at the Malthouse outdoor stage at the Malthouse Theatre. Tickets are on sale. It's happening Saturday, 3rd of February, 2024. Starts at 8 p.m., doors at 7, get there early, grab some drinks. We have a code for listeners, so you get cheaper tickets, and that is See Also Al Fresco, one word, lowercase. We'll put it in the show notes, we'll put it everywhere.
All the info's in the show notes. And yeah, when you come along, you'll see not just Kate and I, but also Courtney Barnett, ever heard of her? Grammy-nominated Australian artist. And Stella Mozgawa, iconic, supported Romy. If you were listening on last week's episode, Jinxie wore a button-up to the club, member of the band Warpaint. We love. We're obsessed.
We love. And also, they will have just done a completely sold-out show the night before at the Recital Centre. So it will be, if you missed out on tickets to that, come along to this. You still get to see them.
It's a little encore performance, but with talking and not music.
Exactly. And you want the banter. We want the banter.
That's what everyone goes to a Courtney Barnett show for. No music, just talking.
Just the chats. I can't wait. It's going to be super fun. I loved our live show at the Wheeler Centre late last year, so it will be really fun.
Me too. We're taking guesses of what signature cocktail I will force everyone to drink this time. See you there.
Yeah, see you there.
It's See Also time. What's up, Jinxie?
Hey, BL. It is See Also time. It's been a long week without you.
I was about to open the pot and be like, hey, diva.
Slay, diva.
I've been consuming too much, I guess, gay men reacting to, like, award shows.
And reunion episodes.
Oh, yeah. My people. It's my culture.
It is your culture. What have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. Oh my God, I watched Naiad.
Oh yeah?
Thank you for the recommendation. I see what you mean about how the directing choices are, they were choices.
They were. There are some flourishes in there.
Oh, the like dream sequence, or the memory sequences. But I do, okay, so I think you kind of prepared me for, you know, wind burn, sea burn on Annette Bening's face. What you did not prepare me for, Kate, was the octopus mask.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
And that the length of the shot that holds on Annette Bening as she's about to finally, spoiler alert, swim from Cuba to Florida, and she's wearing like a glow-in-the-dark Halloween costume mask to prevent an octopus from once again thwarting her dream. It holds on it for so long, and because you can't see any of her face or expression or eyes through it, it was like, there is no world in which this like Mr. Bean coming out of the forest, hi, I come in peace, look, like, there's no world in which it could be taken seriously.
No. And I mean, it does look like she has had some pretty severe burns or something. Like that's the aesthetic of it.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, no. I mean, what a woman, right? Did you do a Wikipedia situation afterwards?
Yeah, but the first time when I because did you say that she married the Jodie Foster character afterwards?
No, I said I don't want to give too much. I want people to watch it before they look into the
real life ladies.
The real life ladies and what the rest of the open swimming community actually thinks of Nyad.
Well, there's a lot of allegedly.
There's a lot of allegedly.
In her Wikipedia.
Yeah, there's like one guy who is absolutely committed to bringing her down. Okay. And he has been for like decades. This guy needs to get a life, but you know.
Yeah. I really did appreciate the like big silent woman driving the boat. Big yes. Deb or something. They're like, don't speak to her. She does not speak.
Yeah, and who's the captain?
Reese Evans.
Yes, Reese Evans, that's right.
Who is when they show the real life, like what is he? He's the navigator. When they show the real, all he did was like look at pages that had like red arrows or blue arrows, and I was like, I don't know if this is good or bad. But when they show the real life guy who died right after she made that final trip, he looks identical to Reese Evans, like perfect casting.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, Reese Evans, all right.
Doing American accent.
And then, yeah, sure enough, perfect. Looks like the guy.
Perfect. He loves those athlesbians just as much as we do.
Well, we love them. Have you been swimming a little bit more? Have you been Nyadding?
Literally, I'm calling it Nyadding now. I went swimming on Sunday. I watched Nyad on, I think, Friday night. And then I went swimming on Sunday and I thought about her the whole time. I was about to get out of the pool at one point and I was like, I can do 5 more minutes. Diana did this so many times.
Pretend you're swimming towards the Taj Mahal.
Yeah. Swimming towards Key West to have some, I don't know, go to Margaritaville or something.
Well, that's where Key West is where the beach bum lives.
Where Judy Blume has her bookstore too.
Because everything is a cultural capital.
Should we do a live pod from Key West?
Oh, I would love to. I would love.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I finally watched, we're both watching our streaming movies. I finally watched Killers of the Flower Moon last night.
Oh my God.
Set aside that time.
What did you think? Okay, so you enjoyed it. I didn't hype it up too much.
No, I really, look, I
me, read, the only person in the world who's been hyping up this movie.
This little movie by this wacky little director. I've never heard of him before. I really liked it. I'm still thinking a lot about it and loved Lily Gladstone in it and really, yeah, I really want to watch Kelly Reichardt's Certain Women again.
Me too.
Because I like her being the, like, love interest of Kay Stew more than I like her being the love interest of Leo Pussy Posse DiCaprio.
Yeah, it's much less complicated.
You don't want her near those teeth. No.
Or that middle part.
That chin. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, he was such a lily-livered son of a bitch, wasn't he?
He really was a coyote.
A coyote.
Look, I highly recommend watching it. I'm bummed I didn't see it at the cinema, I got to say, but my tip for watching it at home is start early, really early. It does go for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Put your phone on either in another room or notifications silenced because you are going to be tempted to look away and look at your phone in certain periods, not out of like discomfort, but there are long stretches where it feels like not much is happening. Mm-hmm. And then it all adds up to something.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you feel about the kind of third act men just appearing, all these like not cameos, but like there's Jack White. And like, I completely forgot Jesse Plemons was in it until 2.5 hours in.
I loved Jesse Plemons in it. Brendan Fraser, though, did not need. He was really acting.
He sure was. He was on his whale journey still.
Yeah.
Flapping his tail around.
Yeah, but look, I mean, I don't need to recommend Scorsese films.
So it's finally out on Apple TV.
If you've got an Apple, you don't have to pay for it. Like, it comes with your Apple TV subscription. But yeah, I haven't been watching very much BL. I've been reading and I am subletting a desk of a friend's in a convent, and that has been great. I just sort of started working from there yesterday.
It's like a shared co-working kind of space, right? Or like a studio.
Yeah, it's like a...
Not just a church, if any.
So it's a shared... There's like the room that I'm in is shared, but I was in... I think I'm going to be in there in odd hours. So will I meet anyone else? Well, I don't know. Jury's out. But that was kind of great to have this space to myself yesterday, all day. Beautiful day outside, and I could just see the gardens. And our friend M came and met me, but it was great. I just had like time and space to actually, like, I didn't get a huge amount of writing done or planning, but it was nice to be able to use my brain in a very different way. Because, like, if I'm at home and my dog's there, I'm gonna look at the dog, like, I'm gonna pat the dog. I'm going to make coffee and go and do some like check on my worms. Like I will do absolutely anything to distract myself.
Mm. Yeah. That's the thing. As I've gotten older, that has become so much more apparent is that when you leave your house to go and work at even a cafe or like somewhere else, a physical space, it's not just to get a change of scenery or something. It's like a new mental like in a video game, like you've stepped into a different world and this is the world where you do the one thing, which is work. Cause I'm the same. Like I have this extra bedroom that we podcast from in my apartment but like my kitchen's right there. My cat's right there. There's so much, there's always vacuuming to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I always think about when I went to see Miranda July do a lecture at the Opera House many years ago, she was talking about how she, at the time she was with Mike Mills and she kept her original apartment in LA, but just for working from. Much like Carrie and
anyway, like Tar.
Just like Tar. Apartment for sale. But so she kept her old apartment and she would drive to it and then leave her phone in her car in the glove box and then just go and work from this apartment where she could not be disturbed. I love that.
The dream.
The dream.
Truly the dream.
Yeah. Anyway, it's exciting to feel like I'm actually changing something. Yeah.
To try to like, yeah, put the structures in place to tick off that.
How's your Q1 going so far?
It's going okay. We're 2 weeks through the first third of the first Q. Yeah, it's going okay. I've started lifting. More on that later.
Excuse you.
I'm doing my swimming. I am not doing the riding stuff so much. I have been putting that off. But I told myself I would start with two days a week where I just sat down for like at least an hour and got some writing done, but as yet no words. But it'll come, ? Yeah. And yeah, I haven't been able to do any of the budgeting stuff because no one's paying their fucking invoices. But once that happens, I can start budgeting with it.
If you're listening and you owe Brody Lancaster money for an invoice, pay that bitch right now, please.
Thank you. This is my automated zero. Chase is just you on the podcast. I'll just clip that out and send people a little audio recording.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
My dad used to have this particular, have I brought this up before? Maybe.
This, I don't think so.
He had a stamp, like a rubber stamp, and he would put it on invoices that hadn't been paid. And it was this like little thin businessman in a suit, and he was pulling out his pockets and looking really sad. And there was a crying baby in like a bassinet behind him. And so, like, you would put that as many times as you needed on this invoice, yeah, being like, pay me.
Mine is that, and it's a little fly coming out of a wallet, and it's got just my real estate agent hammering a fully sign in the front of my apartment if they don't pay me.
I love the fly coming out of the wallet.
Yeah, that's what I picture with the man turning his pockets out. There's always a little gnat.
It's very that. Yeah, it's very that. I have been doing the budgeting stuff. VL.
Sure have.
Oi. It's frightening when you add up all your streaming services.
Yeah, it really makes a girl want to be a pirate, doesn't it?
It really, you want to walk that plank, don't you? You sure do. But look, I have done some things to try to like mitigate the issues there.
That's so formal. Mitigate my financial issues.
I changed my phone plan.
Great.
I threatened to pull my New York Times subscription, and I got $32 off a month on it.
A classic move. I love to make that move every year.
Yeah, I was inspired by you.
Just here's my tip. Set an annual recurring calendar notification to say,
I can't pay this.
Yes. Tell the New York Times you will cancel if it's not cheaper. How was your weekend though, Jinxie?
My weekend was fun. I had 2 40ths in a row on Friday night and then a friend's birthday dinner on the Saturday night. And I went to all three. And this is like shocking for me, BL, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went totally sober to all three of them.
Uh-huh.
I stayed sober at all of them. I'm not a sober person. I'm just like taking a bit of time off, you know.
Miss little drink at the bar, didn't have a drink.
No, exactly. It's embarrassing. But like
it's not embarrassing.
But it was actually fine. It was fine. I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to leave immediately.
And to be clear, you're not officially on a damp January. You're just having a little rest.
Yeah, I'm just having a little rest. It's boring that the effects of not drinking are so apparent so quickly.
My God.
I hate it.
Yeah. It's like when I first felt like good and productive after exercising and I was like, oh, fuck this. Like what everyone said is right. Like how fucking boring.
Yes, completely. It's like I've had sleeping problems all my life. I've slept straight through the night all week.
Oh, Jinxie.
My skin's a lot better. I'm less buffy. Like, it's just irritating. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
But on the birthday dinner that I went to on the Saturday night, it was really sweet. It was a place that I'd wanted to go to in Collingwood for a little while. And it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd organized a birthday cake for our friend who was celebrating, and which is like not really her vibe to do a public birthday cake.
Sure.
Which makes it always a bit more fun.
Always so much more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so we did the cake thing and we sang to her. No other person in the whole restaurant either looked over or sang.
Oh.
And when we got to the hip hip hooray, they didn't even hooray.
They didn't even hip.
They did neither hip nor hooray. And no little clap at the end.
That's hostile. That's actually hostile.
Yeah, I was like, what is wrong with these people?
That's violence.
Right.
Yeah. I went to French Saloon a few months ago. I talked about it on the podcast and there was a table on the other side of the restaurant. It wasn't even a packed restaurant and there was a birthday song. Me and my friend leaned over, took the opportunity to learn the birthday boy's name and then looked him up on Instagram later because he was very cute. But still. You join in.
Yeah, you fucking join in. Like, you don't have to join in actually. You can, but you can like smile. You could clap. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It
was really weird.
I think I saw a photo from this party that one of your friends posted on Instagram, I'm realizing now, and I immediately knew what the restaurant was.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention it because I wasn't pleased with the service.
I wouldn't be either. I'd be writing a Google review. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
I'm not pleased with the service outside of the cake stuff.
Really?
Mm.
It's a trendy new place too.
It is a trendy new place.
I know that.
Do with that information what you will.
We haven't had any prior discussions, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Anyway, what else? Anything else from you, Miel?
Oh, I played tennis. That was my other thing.
Yeah, great. Because you said you were going to.
Q1 goal, 5 tennis games. Fun. And so I broke it. You might remember. I broke it down into achievable steps. And one was research courts.
Mm-hmm.
Tried out Carlton Gardens for our first game. Delightful courts. Delightful little clubhouse. There's a shed. There's a barbecue. I kind of want to be a member so that I can be invited when they fire up the barbecue. I don't know when that happens. But yeah, I went with my friend Anton. We had a similar level of ability, which was good because we weren't, you know, dragging one another down. Tennis, like shock horror, you got to run.
Yeah.
Which I forgot. I had blocked that bit out until the first time I had to run after a ball. And then I almost felt myself almost fall over face first onto the concrete tennis court. And I immediately got scared. I immediately was like, I don't know if I can play tennis because the chance of falling over is real in the way that it isn't when I swim or do Pilates.
Yes. Well, yes. I mean, you could fall off one of those reformer machines.
I never have, touch wood. But yeah, so Australian Open season is on and I got a head start.
Well done.
Yeah. I'm like the Nick Kyrgios of Clifton Hill.
Like cancelled?
Just like a loudmouth. And good at tennis.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. You know, all the ways that we're... And a full Pokemon back tattoo. we're similar in a lot of ways.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, BL, it's finally time to talk about the film that you have wanted to talk about for so long. Congratulations.
Thanks, Mama.
It's Priscilla time.
It's finally fucking Priscilla time.
It's Scylla time.
After months, Scylla is finally out in Australian cinemas. Sofia Coppola's 10th feature, is it? Something like that. Wait, I'm going to double check.
It was 8th.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it's 8. 9.
Okay.
We don't really count on the rocks, but...
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, that's why. We'll get to that later.
It's not canon.
So, obviously, Sofia Coppola's new film based on Priscilla Presley's book, Elvis and Me, all about her life with Dark King, my problematic... King Elvis Presley.
You meant your problematic King Jacob Elordi. I was like, he seems fine.
He's good. He's not problematic.
He's reading Prima Facie Farci Fasci at the airport. He seems fine.
Yeah, I bought that because he was buying it. I told you that. And it was it's not a good book. Oh. Not a good novelization. Anyway.
The play's fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard. You told me. You raved about it.
His bags are fantastic.
His fucking bags.
Anyway, the film.
The film. So it kind of, the film is a portrait, I suppose, of Priscilla Presley from the time when she's Priscilla Beaulieu, whose father is stationed in a German military base, which is famously where Elvis was also stationed after he was like too sexy for America. For more on that, see Baz Luhrmann's film from last year.
He's what?
That boy's what? The snowman. the film opens, she's 14 in a diner, and an adult man is like, hey, little lady, you like Elvis? Come to his house. And that's just the start of a couple of hours of just watching a really young woman be really, I'm not going to say manipulated, but kind of treated in such a specifically uncomfortable way by a very famous, very charismatic, very powerful, very wealthy man, and all the things that she has to do to kind of bend to his will and keep him happy until she leaves.
Spoiler.
until she's no longer with Elvis, as per the title, Elvis and Me, until it's just me.
I think it is the singularly most, I haven't seen On the Rocks, uncomfortable film of that she has made. Mm. We'll talk a bit more about her filmography later, but in the episode we're going to be talking about her book as well, but you know, she sort of deconstructs girlhood and like feminine identities within her films, but often there is kind of more a level of agency for them. Whereas with this, you're like, Priscilla thinks she has agency. Like she can see her as that teen girl, like 14, and she's just completely under the thrall of this older man who is so famous. So handsome. Like he, you can see that, you know, like when her parents are trying to stop the relationship in this kind of piss poor kind of way, because they know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
But it's like when parents are like, well, I'd rather have them have sex under the roof than
I'd rather have
else.
Them drink here. Yeah.
Totally. But she clearly thinks that she is so special to have been picked out by this person that she kind of can exist outside of the usual social laws.
Mm.
I know that feeling. I think a lot of women in particular have that feeling of kind of meeting someone a bit older or outside of your bubble, and like when you're much younger and then going, oh, well, yeah, normally, like if it was on paper, I would disagree with this. But however, because it's happening to me,
it's really exciting.
Understand. And
yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that that was done really beautifully.
Yeah, because obviously even when he's a soldier and has all these rules to follow, rules still don't apply to him.
No.
And there's a lot to be made of the fact that he was, I think, 10 years older than her, 14, at a party at his house with all adults when they first meet. And then she's 16 when he moves her over to Graceland. There's a lot to be made of the fact, well, people put a lot of emphasis on the fact that he was so like emotionally young. You know, his mother's just died and he really liked this sense of home that she brought into his world and all of this. But at the same time, there was this bit of trivia where, you know, when Priscilla first went to this party where she first met him, she was in a little sailor dress. And Sophia originally wanted Kaylee Spaney, who plays Priscilla brilliantly, to be wearing that. But the visual of her in the sailor dress just looked way too predatory when she was on screen surrounded by all these adults and Jacob Elordi, who's like 10 feet tall. And so it almost is like, oh, that reality is a little too touchy for us. The interiority of this film is so interesting because Sofia Coppola is a master of it, you know, like the Lisbon girls' bedrooms and even Marie Antoinette, you know, like the way that she took this kind of like figure and symbol and turned her into a girl and like what a girl would experience in that situation.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs.
To be beheaded. But, you know, like the interiority of Priscilla is kind of tricky because all those other characters have something to kind of bounce off or respond to. Whereas for so much of this movie, Priscilla either has all stimuli, like she's in Vegas or they're doing drugs or they're partying and there's fireworks going off and there's guns being shot in the backyard of Graceland. Or there's nothing. There's a complete absence of anything for her to react to or respond to, except her dog, which I know we'll get to. but you're almost left. The movie kind of reinforces the idea that, like, oh, there's nothing going on with this chick until her man comes home, because that's when it's like batteries are put in back in her back, you know, she's like a little bunny comes to life. And when he leaves again, she has to power down and there's kind of nothing in the world left for her, which is like a really, I think I saw you the night after I saw this film and I was still grappling with that feeling that the film left me with, which is that I really want to come out of this film going, it's so great to spend all this time with this female character who's so often, you know, only thought of in the context of this very powerful man. And she has her own story to tell as well. But the story that's being told here is only her in the context of that man through the very beautiful lens of Sofia Coppola. But still, I don't feel like I came away knowing any more about Priscilla than perhaps I did going into it.
Yeah, for me, I think I knew a lot less about Priscilla than you, obviously, as Elvis fan. But I didn't know that they met on a base in Germany. Mm. I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't know that she left her parents in Germany to go and live at Graceland. Like, all of that was actually new to me. So I got that out of it, I suppose. But I know what you mean. It's like, I also want to be able to say I loved this film, like, unequivocally, like how I have left many of her films, but I kind of can't with this. Like, I'm still thinking about it. I really loved it sort of washing over me. I did like the discomfort that it provides. And yeah, I wrote in my notes that I probably won't see it again. And now I'm talking about it, I'm like, I got to see this movie again.
Yeah.
Like, I really would like to, I think I want to see it again where I have seen it already and I'm not kind of waiting. Like, I'm not going like, oh, everything that I expect is it like from the new Sofia Coppola film? We haven't had one in ages. Like, is it going to be in this one? And now that I've seen it, now I can just go and take it for what it is. I think, like, leave the hype of Sofia behind. But yeah, I did struggle with, but also loved the interiority of it, that we are getting this kind of jewel box of Priscilla's world. And you're so right that she kind of powers down as soon as Elvis is out. And occasionally she tries to build her own little world. Like, you see her trying to talk to the women that are employed by, you know, Elvis or Elvis's dad. And Elvis's dad is, you know, like, bans her from speaking to them.
From coming into his office. Yeah.
And you see her at one point, she's like, oh, I've been offered a job in a little boutique. And Elvis is like, you cannot take that. Forget about it, because you need to be at home in case I want to call you at any time when I am on the road. Like, that is, it's quite a horrifying relationship. Like, there is just no power there at all for her. And it's like, she lives at Graceland. Her home is Graceland. She is supposed to provide this kind of homeliness for him, because, like, he's lost his mom, etc., and that's why he's brought her over, maybe, allegedly. But it's so not her home. Like, it's just not. She's never comfortable. She knows she could be kind of kicked out of it at any point. And, like, Elvis does try to kick her out when she's preg.
Yeah, and that's kind of an incredible moment in the film too, because by that point, when she preg, as you said, she has,
I don't know why I said it like that. I'm so sorry.
I liked it. We're all just reveling in the discomfort today. You, me, Priscilla, preg. But she, you know, she preg, and Elvis basically says, like, I think you should leave. I think, you know, you shouldn't be here anymore, and I think you should leave. And by this point, she's been so agreeable for so long. She's been agreeable to him when he ships her overseas and then leaves her alone. She's been agreeable when he is clearly fucking around on her with, like, his co-stars, with Nancy Sinatra, with Anne Margaret. Shout out Anne Margaret. great off-screen character in this film. And when she comes home and she just believes everything he tells her, you know, she can't be friend. The Memphis Mafia, who are his, like,
The boys.
The gang, you know, they all have their women and they all comment on how young Priscilla is, and she can't infiltrate them. She can't be friends with them because Elvis keeps her around when it's just the boys. And so she's witness to all of the men fucking around on their girlfriends. So then she can't have a relationship with them. You know, she's so agreeable to him. And by the time that she preg with Lisa Marie and he says, I think you should leave, she's like, you know what? You're right. And she walks out and she's kind of figured out the game by that point in a really devastating way. And he's like, no, take me back, baby. I don't mean it, you know. And sorry, it just comes over me. But, you know, you're right, the discomfort is the word. And I think I just need to give Sophia a little more credit, because discomfort is the point, you know.
Yeah, discomfort's the point.
There was nothing soothing about this relationship. There was nothing normal about this relationship. And the film doesn't try to make out like there was, even though these two have been kind of held up as this kind of like iconic pop culture symbol. The truth of what happened behind closed doors and behind the gates of Graceland was really dark. The film captured so well also something Sophia is so good at, which is female horniness.
Yeah.
You know, the first time he takes her to see a movie when they're still in Germany, and she's like just kind of glancing sideways at him and her whole body's like, oh my God, touch my boob or something, you know, like she's just, but it's so still and it's so small and her performance is so just on her face. And then the whole time she's at Graceland, you know, she tries to lay down. He's like, go up to my room and I'll come and meet you. And she's like, finally, he's going to like finger me. But he doesn't. He doesn't want to do anything until they're married. And then after they get married, still doesn't want to like touch her barely. They have this like acid trippy, like run, like long montage, you assume fuck fest, where there's just so brilliantly executed by Sophia, a montage of just like trays of food being placed at the door day after day after day. And they're taking these Polaroids of one another. He apparently had this like real fetish for like schoolgirl, like virginity for sure. Like,
what a cliche, Elvis.
I know. White Jesus. Underwear, very virginal, very Catholic. And then finally she's pregnant, God knows how. And he had a thing about having sex with a woman who's had a baby. And like, that was like a big block for him. So it's like this like symbol of virility who's on stage, you know, like we barely see Elordi perform also, which I find very interesting. A real contrast to Austin, but you know, he's this symbol of like manliness and hunkiness and kissing women on stage in Vegas. And they all want to be Priscilla. Meanwhile, she's there and she's fucking like, so horny, she's gonna explode.
Yeah, and Kaylee Spaney is so good at playing this like shy, electrified teen girl, and she's also great at playing this kind of jilted woman. She does such a good job inhabiting both of those roles. But that brings us to Elordi. I know you loved Austin Butler's performance in a certain Elvis movie.
Elvis brackets 2022.
By Baz Luhrmann, written by Baz Luhrmann, and yeah, probably starring Baz Luhrmann in prosthetics somewhere. But what did you think of Elordi's Elvis? Because it's a very different Elvis.
It's very different. I was suspicious of it, I'll be honest, because
he didn't do the voice training that Butler did.
He's not still doing the voice. Yes, there's a new Austin Butler project coming out before June. It's got Barry Keoghan in it as well. It's like military school or something. I don't know. He's still doing the voice.
Oh, no, really?
Anyway, I was kind of skeptical of Elordi because he's physically, I don't see him in Elvis or see Elvis in him, but he was really good. He did slip into Brisbane a couple of times. Like the word tour, going on tour. If you're American, it's tour. If you're Australian, it's tour. If you're from Brisbane, it's tour. But if you're Elvis, it's tour. Like he couldn't figure that out. But
how would he say, how would Elvis say tar?
Like Lydia?
Yeah.
You do it.
Tar.
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 Lydia Tar.
Lydia Tar.
Lydia is a weird word for it in a southern accent.
No, Lydia. Lydia Tar.
Lydia.
Lydia. Oh, yeah, that's good.
It might be Lydia.
Lydia Tar.
Wow. We need to do an I'm not there style Elvis, but they're all just talking about different Kate Blanchett performances, including her and I'm not there.
If you have some accent work that you'd like us to do, send it in.
Send it in. We take requests. We're like a jukebox. I loved his Elvis. I loved that it was, okay, so this is influenced by a recent interview Elordi gave in the Actors on Actors, him and Coleman Domingo. Lordy was talking about how he tries to get at like the little boy at the like center of all of his characters. So, like Nate from Euphoria isn't this like bully, psychopathic kind of murderer. He's the guy at home whose dad is like holding him at arm's length his whole life, right? And so Elvis was, you know, he channeled the little boy lost who was kind of like taken away from, you know, kicked out of the nest too young, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently he broke down late in filming and just started crying on set and saying, what did they do to him? What did they all do to him?
What have they done to my boy?
Literally, what have they done to my boy? He also, apparently Sofia Coppola's number one rule on a set is unspoken, but it is for no corniness.
Mm-hmm.
And all Jacob Elordi was terrified of was being corny. And so he's fighting against it for the 2-hour runtime of this film. Anyway, all that is to say, I thought he was great. I think the choice to make him just a person on the phone, in the house, on TV, in magazines, and like very rarely performing, singing, dancing was like a really smart one. And this film started production after Baz Luhrmann's Elvis had already come out.
Mm.
So
no snowman.
No snowman. And I have to assume that was a real choice. They were like, we don't need any more Colonel.
Yeah, and thank God.
Because I'm sure he was there. I mean, like, Priscilla started taking those drugs that they were, like, filling Elvis with pretty early.
Oh, so early. In this film, it is quite eye-opening how Priscilla is just being fed these drugs by Elvis. And, of course, she's not going to say no. And then,
she's got to go to school the next day.
She's got to go to school. And but then also it's like he gives her the other drugs. He's like kind of, I don't know, he's like this druggy gatekeeper with her. I don't know. I saw a lot in that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Okay, some things that I loved were her graduation. Like, all the stuff of her at school I really enjoyed. And that's also another real sadness, is that she couldn't have any friends. She couldn't invite people over. But she graduates and then comes out, and the nuns at her school are all taking photos with Elvis and the Memphis Mafia, which was, like, my favorite
that was cute.
Image in the entire film. He also got her pistols to match every one of her outfits. And, like,
loved.
We don't love guns, but, like, that's very chic.
It is chic. I don't support it, but chic.
Don't use them. Just have them. Elordi is one of my favorite parts of the film. I loved that acid montage, as kind of like creepy as the Polaroids are. And by the way, Sofia Coppola has published a lot of those Polaroids that Kaylee Svanian and Jacob Elordi took of one another in her book, which is worth the $150 cost alone. What about you, Jinxie? What else did you like about this film?
I really thought, like, as per with her films, the costuming was brilliant. Like, I thought it was great. It moved beyond the just getting like an authentic match for photos. And like, of course there are lots of photos available online of like, here she is wearing the exact purple shirt that the real Priscilla wore, you know. But it goes so much beyond that, because I felt like this could be, I could be reaching, but it felt like everything was just like a bit bigger and a bit more puffy on Kaylee than it was on the real Priscilla. Like, she was always this sort of doll, essentially, and she was all this like, she was a girl playing a grown-up, and I felt like everything was just a little bit big. Her shoes were a bit too big, the collars were a bit too, everything shrank her a little bit, and totally. I felt like potentially deliberate there. And I always, like with the music in Marie Antoinette, the anachronistic kind of music flourishes in this, I thought worked so well, because a lot of the music is of the time period. And one of my see-alsos, and probably yours too, is the playlist that Phoenix put together for Sophia to like get in the mood when she was, you know, working on the film. And quite a lot of those songs actually made it into the, and I'd been listening to that playlist for months and months and months. And then like when Crimson and Clover or whatever comes in, you're like, hey, made it.
Yeah.
But there are these kind of like electronic, like there's a Dan Deacon song in there, and it just sort of puts this contemporary spin on everything, and you're like, it kind of bursts your bubble of like watching like a period piece, like suddenly kind of watching it with you know, fresh modern eyes and like what's how Sophia is making the film, I thought.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, I love that playlist and, you know, all of the Sophia, being able to click the link onto Sophia Coppola's Spotify profile. What a fucking treat.
We love that. Oh, and I loved her dog, Honey.
Okay. You've got 10 minutes. You knew a tight 10 on Honey.
Yeah. No, I just had no idea that she had this poodle named Honey. And I felt for Honey. I thought the Honey's a beautiful thing and a great name for a dog. It reminded me of when Carol Radziwill just called all of her animals Baby.
Baby.
Made me want to call every animal Honey.
Yeah. She's such a little honey. It's so sad. Like when Priscilla comes home from school because she's still in high school and she's playing with her little puppy on the lawn of Graceland. We say Graceland. They say Graceland.
Graceland.
And she's like chastised for it and told to come inside because there are fans at the gate and she's showing off to them. It's like so grim. She can't have any kind of life.
She's just playing with that puppy.
She's a little paper doll in their like Graceland diorama. Mm,
she is.
This is the moment where I do mention again, in case you didn't listen to our Elvis episode when that film came out. I have been to Graceland and it is an incredible place. And the office where Priscilla is told she's not allowed to go into because the women are working. You can stand at the door and like the recreation is like phenomenal. And all of the fan art, like it's like a shrine to the fan mail that Elvis used to get, which is really just unreal. And it's still their family home. Like Priscilla, RIP to Lisa Marie. It's like Priscilla and Riley and Riley's sisters are like the last remaining Presleys. And on like family holidays, like at Christmas and Thanksgiving, Graceland is shut to visitors because it is still the house that they go to and they eat dinners at and they sleep in the bedrooms. Like it's this really strange, like living museum. It's filled with a lot of like energy, that place.
Wild.
Yeah, it's wild.
Do you have any other see-alsos for Priscilla?
Okay, the first one is nothing we can all watch just yet unless you're in America and you can access the A24 app. Sophia Coppola invited a 17-year-old film student called Liv McNeil on set and she made a making of Priscilla and she kind of narrates it and speaks about how like, I'm 17 and Priscilla was just a teenager. And isn't that crazy? And she documents the making of the film. Someone had ripped it and uploaded it to YouTube.
I've seen it.
A24 found it and took it down. Okay. Yeah. But I will be keeping an eye out. I do have a Google alert, but there are really funny moments where Sophia Coppola and Thomas Mars's iconic viral child, Romy Mars, at one point is like just trying to get a photo with Jacob Elordi.
I love that.
Love. And Sophia at one point is like, oh, can you take has her, you know, cool Contax T2 camera and is taking a photo of them. And then Romy's like, can you take a photo of me and Jacob on my phone? And Sophia's like, no. That's not what this is, girl. And I was like, fuck the high highs and low lows of being.
I wonder if that's what Frances Ford did to her on set sometime.
I mean, the her mom documenting all those film shoots on you know, film.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have had any photos with Brando. Oh, she probably does. And I saw this in your also as well, Jinxie, Rax King's piece, When I Call, I Need to Know You'll Be Home.
That's great.
It's so good. I wasn't familiar with Rax King, but now I will be following and reading. There was like just on what I said before about like the horniness of this character. The piece opens with this quote that says, Sophia Coppola's girls want but do not get. Her films are the muffled scream agony of young romantic women trying really hard to want less. Oh,
yeah.
Fuck me.
It's a really well-written piece.
It's so good. There's a really great piece on Vulture talking to Stacey Batat, who this is her sixth. She's a costume designer. It's the sixth film she's made with Sophia Coppola. And she talks about kind of Priscilla's move to pants and going to LA and doing a little karate and raising Lisa Marie essentially by herself. And when she tells Elvis that she's leaving him, there's just this really, it made the headline of the piece. She says goodbye in pants, which is like such a moment.
Goodbye to all that in pants.
Goodbye to all that in pants. Sofia Coppola did an interview with one of our favorite directors of the last year, Celine Song, on the DGA Director's Cut podcast, which is really fun. What are yours, Jinxie? I have a couple more, but
no, I only had the Spotify playlist and the Rax King piece.
Okay. So the
I knew you'd go long.
The official Vulture review I thought was really great. Alison Wilmore reviewed the film and spoke about how Sofia Coppola's films are about privilege without power. You know, a lot of people speak to like the whiteness and the heterosexuality of Sofia Coppola's films. And I think that's an important distinction to make, that there is very little power or agency, as you said, Jinxie, executed by these women. She makes movies about women who are picked, ones who've been raised expecting to be treasured for their status, beauty, delicacy, youth, and their near uniform whiteness is certainly entwined with all this, and women who've been affirmed in those beliefs until they aren't, which is like, oof, so good. Okay, before we wrap on the film, I have two fun bits of trivia. Actually, three fun bits of trivia. Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode was inspired by Elvis and Me.
What?
Apparently.
I mean, thanks, Priscilla.
Sure.
Great song.
Okay, are you aware of the woman who connects Austin Butler and Jacob Elordi?
No.
Okay. So
is it the owner of the River Cafe?
I wish Jacob Elordi went on the River Cafe podcast. Can you imagine? Okay, so Jacob Elordi used to date Kaia Gerber. Kaia Gerber, supermodel daughter of Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber, tequila mogul, I guess. They used to date. This was like Jacob Elordi's, one of his few public, like, this is my girlfriend women. They're no longer together. She's now engaged to, guess who?
Butler.
Austin Butler.
Well, well.
Guess what she and Jacob Elordi went to Halloween as a few years ago when they were dating?
Well, I think it was Scylla and Elvis, right?
Little Mama. That's right. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Okay, one more psycho celeb, Elvis and Priscilla.
Give it.
Okay. So we all know Elvis and Priscilla got divorced, right? Spoiler alert. They weren't together when he died. Guess who Elvis dated after divorcing Priscilla?
Give me a ballpark.
Okay, her name's Linda Thompson. She's the mother of Brody and Brandon Jenner.
Oh, my God.
When she was married to Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Father of Kylie and Kendall. They were together. She was with Elvis. They remained friends until he died. Also, after the Elvis-Priscilla divorce, Robert Kardashian dated, guess who?
Oh, my God.
Priscilla Presley. Isn't that fucking crazy?
That's wild.
Yeah. Anyway, this is what stays in my brain, and so many things just seep out at night when I'm sleeping, but I can't forget the important stuff.
No, it's all in there, and I'm glad for it.
Yeah, me too. It makes me special. Okay, a perfectly timed release for the Priscilla film is the Sofia Coppola Archive, this giant coffee table book published by Mac Books in the UK that kind of finally, for the first time, puts together all of Sofia's ephemera, photos, notes, emails, and also some interviews with Lynn Hirschberg about all of her features. And Jinxie, you and I both got our hands on a copy late last year.
Sure did. Yeah, I got mine in the States because I knew it wasn't coming out, like many films, for so long in Australia. So I lugged it back from New York with me. And
damn, she needs her own suitcase almost.
She really does. Yeah, she's a big gal.
She's a big girl.
Relatable. I love my curvy wife, the Sofia Coppola Archive, 1999-2023.
I love my three-dimensional rectangle wife.
I mean, it's great. What can we say? I mean, we've got notes, but it's great.
It's so great. Okay, some of my favorite parts in it. I love the interview at the start with Lynn. And obviously, it's really fun to go behind the scenes, but some of the best things that Sofia has kept are emails.
Yes.
Specifically between her and Jeffrey Eugenides.
Yes.
Who's such a little bitch.
Best spread of the book, I think.
Best spread of the book. And then a few pages later, present day where she's basically like, can I have your permission to... I also love screenshots from Sofia Coppola's Gmail. Imagine the chicest woman on earth who's just like so innately sophisticated and cool eternally using Gmail.
Yeah.
She has...
It's like her using Spotify. Like, really?
I know. She shouldn't use a computer. She's like Grace Coddington, you know, they should be printed out and read to her. Or maybe that's Anna Wintour. Anyway, but she, you know, a few pages later, she also includes the email where he basically rereads their old correspondence to give permission for it to be in this book. And is like, God, I had such a stick up my ass.
He was like, I'm sorry, I used to be such a whiny little bitch, basically. It's so funny.
He was so, so precious, obviously, about his book. Because Sophia read The Virgin Suicides and famously was basically like, I know how to tell this story and other directors don't understand these girls the way that I do. And there are some really amazing grabs of notes from Jeffrey in those early emails where he's underlined things like, remember, the girls aren't real.
Yeah, they do not exist.
They do not exist. That's it. They do not exist. Yeah.
Yeah, and also she was given the book by Thurston Moore to read. So, I mean, the connections are strong.
Yeah, she's...
With Sophia.
She doesn't even have to try, does she?
But I don't begrudge her.
Me neither. And she does try. That's the thing. There is a lot of effort in all of this. Like the references to Heath Ledger in the Somewhere chapter I found very interesting. Like the way that she imagined this movie star character would be styled. Fascinating. I only saw Somewhere and The Beguiled once each, and they really deserve a rewatch, but they're not fucking streaming anywhere.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, because I've seen Somewhere twice. I only saw The Beguiled once at a festival and...
I loved it. I thought it was so funny.
I remember not loving it, but I was so excited about it. And then, of course, her basically excising a slave character from the original novel, which she kind of talks about in this book of the reasons mm-hmm. why she did it. Also, it was set in... the plantation that Martha Coolidge used to live on that was then used by Beyonce.
Jennifer.
Jennifer Coolidge. So sorry, not Martha Coolidge.
Who's Martha Coolidge?
Martha Coolidge is a really cool, like, filmmaker artist.
of course.
Yeah. Anyway, Jennifer Coolidge. So sorry to her, a queen. But that aside, I need to see that again. Mm. I would love to watch Somewhere again. And one of my favorite bits in this book, because she has collected... Like, she kept everything, and I love that about her.
Same.
I love a filmmaker, an artist.
Little magpie.
Truly keeps their clippings. I love it. And there's a photo of the Playboy bunnies that come over, and they're, like, on the stripper pole for Stephen Dorff. And she's written, like, these two girls were so cute and sweet, basically. They would come over from the Playboy mansion to shoot. And, like, imagine what crazy things happened there, basically. I really loved all of her little asides throughout the book.
Yeah.
And she's so straightforward about everything. I also really enjoyed that she shared her, like, visual inspirations for things and how... When she approaches a new work, she will, like, her choices are interesting, like, but they're not kind of connected to something obvious. Like in the chapter on the rocks, which I haven't seen, she's got images from Breathless, like Jean-Luc Godard's Breathless, throughout this film that is, I believe, to be about a father and daughter. Mm-hmm. And she said that she was thinking a lot about it because it's a romance that's not corny, which is, well, she doesn't like being corny.
She hates corniness.
I don't like corniness. I don't like earnestness. Me and Sophia, we're different. But I really enjoyed seeing all that and, like, you know, these shots of Marie Antoinette and then, like, a Bow Wow Wow cover. Like, great. Yeah, it's so great.
She also talks about her dad in that On the Rocks, like, little, she does, you know, the little preamble on each film before you just get into, like, visual ephemera. And she talks about, like, this man whose approach has kind of been expired culturally. You know, he tries to charm waitresses and he tells stories that are kind of politically incorrect. And I thought that was just such a... the Bill Murray character in that film, although I didn't like the film very much at all, but the Bill Murray character, you know, he has a certain kind of charm to him that it's really sweet to imagine Sophia writing that in the kind of spirit of her dad, who is, like, so beloved, so respected, so renowned, but she's like, oh, this embarrassing guy who's like from another generation. But I love him. One thing that she said about The Bling Ring I found really interesting, which is essentially that it's like the ugly film, you know?
Yeah. It's not her aesthetic.
No, it's set in such an aesthetically troubling era of like, yeah, you know,
Y2K.
Skirts over jeans and like big handbags, big sunglasses. Like, you know, it's everything that she's not. She's so restrained. She's label-less for the most part. You know that she's wearing Marc Jacobs, her bestie, and Chanel and the Row and whatever else. But like, you don't see any labels on Sofia Coppola. It's a big, if you know, you know, Quiet Luxury, etc. But like, The Bling Ring was so labels, Hermes, you know, big giant sunglasses, and also shot on digital, which was not her thing. And so she just really worked so hard to make a film that looked not like her style, which is really funny.
It worked. I loved The Bling Ring.
Me too.
I just thought it was great. And it was really unfairly criticized, I felt. Going through this book, I really loved how each film of hers, no matter like the critical or public reception of it, like each one was given its own weight within the book. And I do mean weight because it is a heavy book, but like it was, they were all equally divided in the book, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you mentioned before her references, and there is one image that she posted on her Instagram recently. It's called Girl with the Blue Ribbon by Joanne Callas. And it's a photo from 1977, I believe. It's of like a white woman against like a patterned wallpaper, and she's wearing like a beautiful frilly, you know, party dress, and she's got this delicate blue ribbon tied around her neck. You don't see her face. She's looking upwards. And I look at that and I'm like, of course, this is so Sofia Coppola. It's like, it could be a reference for The Virgin Suicides or for Marie Antoinette or now for Priscilla, like this idea of like a woman doing all things right as far as femininity is concerned, but being like kind of, there's something really threatening about like that ribbon, like tied so tightly around, you know, the middle of her neck. It's really like strangled by femininity, which is like, so it looks like it would be on a Sofia Coppola fan Tumblr account, but it's actually sure, on her mood boards, which is like so real.
Yeah. I love that. That is great. I love strangled by femininity. That is Sofia Coppola's films in quite a nutshell, really, isn't it?
Yeah. We also get to see Jacob Elordi's handwriting in the book.
He
writes a little thank you note at the end to, you know, saying that she's one of the filmmakers he's wanted to work with since he was a teenager. And that handwriting betrays the fact that he is no longer a teenager, because it looks like he's still at Nudgee College or St. Kevin's College or whatever Australian high school you want to place him in.
Oh, I loved that you got to see Elle Fanning's personalized stationery.
So cute.
Very good. I loved that.
Very refined. We love Elle.
We love Elle. Yeah, look, the things that I don't like about this book.
Yep.
I love everything in the book, but I want another book that has the true ephemera, the like messier bits of Sofia's world that I grew up as like absolutely loving as a teenager, which is her label Milk Fed. Mm-hmm. I'm so sad that I got rid of all those singlets. I don't know why or how I scour eBay for them.
You're psycho for that.
Yeah, I really am. There's no mention of like the star in it, her first short film.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Nothing pre-99, I guess, like putting date on it.
Yeah.
We really want to rewind and have a prequel.
Yeah, I think maybe I want Sofia Coppola Archive 1992 to 1998. Because we want high octane in there.
We want high octane. I also want the Spike Jonze years.
Yeah, I want the Spike Jonze years. I want the more coverage of the ex-girl runway, like outside the Marc Jacobs. I want that.
I want that. We want the Chanel internship, maybe.
Yes. We want it.
Lick the Star, though, is available on YouTube or Daily Motion. There's like a million clips of it online. So if you are a Sofia fan, or even if you're, you know, new to her entire filmography, you must watch Lick the Star. 13-minute short that she made in the early 90s. And it's like so many of her kind of like touchstones of her later work are like evident there right from the start, and including casting her relatives, because it stars Robert Schwartzman, who some of you might know as the Lily's hot brother from The Princess Diaries, or a member of the band Rooney, who are on The OC. He is the son of Talia Shire, who is Francis Ford Coppola's sister. Relative of the Cages, you know, the family tree is broad. Jason Schwartzman's brother, etc. And he has directed a new film, Jinxie, that I'm dying to see, called The Good Half, which stars randomly Nick Jonas, David Arquette, and Elizabeth Shue. Anyway, he was in Lick the Star, which is 98. So, yeah, that's the year before The Archive begins. And
imagine if you were like, I'm just going to make a film and I'm just going to cast, I don't know, I'll just cast my, like, cousins and shit. And it's like
my Nicolas random Cage. Cousin. Yeah. And the cinematographer was Lance Accord, which is a very notable name if you, like me, were so obsessed with Spike Jones and Sofia Coppola when you were a teenager. Mm-hmm. He shot Being John Malkovich, and Adaptation, Lost in Translation, Marie Antoinette, and Where the Wild Things Are. So they, like, shared him.
Time shared,
post-divorce.
I've got a couple of see alsos.
Hit me.
So number one is, if you haven't listened to it, you should go back and listen to episode 12, Horsepower is God, of a little podcast named See Also, which is dedicated to her incredible show, High Octane.
High Octane.
Very cool. The other one is a good piece in the New York Times. It came out end of last year, and it's like picking out all of like the best times, the best little song moments in her films. And she has such good taste in music. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And the last one is something that's pretty new to me. It was on NPR in 2004, but it is an interview with Sophia, aged 5, by her dad.
What?
The one and only Francis Ford. And he is prompting her to talk to herself as a big lady.
Stop.
And she talks about, like, what she thinks her future will be, basically.
Oh, my God.
It's really, really cute. It goes for, like, maybe 6 minutes or something. Anyway, we'll link those in the show notes.
Okay, dying to listen to that. Okay, it's time for Also Alsos. My first one I'm very excited to share. The movie How to Blow Up a Pipeline is on Stan.
Oh, that's cool.
Turns out, if you are a Patreon listener, you will have heard me rave about it in our paywalled favorite movies of 2023 and also books and TV shows. A few weeks ago, it's about a group of environmental activists who kind of come together to sabotage an oil pipeline. It's right there in the title. And it's like heisty, it's twisty, it's like very dramatic, and it's like one of my favorite movies of last year, obviously. So I'm so happy that I can watch it again and that everyone I've recommended it to can finally see it.
Oh, that's cool. I want to rewatch that. My first one is an also for you that sadly I cannot involve myself in because I will not be around. But, you know, John Wilson, like How To with John Wilson.
Yeah.
Great American show. He was asked by Anthology Film Archives last year to put together some short film packages, essentially, and introduce them. Films that had influenced him with How To, and also films that were made by people that he worked with on the show. Anyway, Antenna Documentary Film Festival in Sydney has picked up that John Wilson Selects program and is bringing him over. So you can actually go and see him, I do believe, in Sydney over the 11th and 12th of Feb playing these short films.
I developed such a crush on John Wilson when I watched that show, which was only like 2 months ago.
He's crushable.
Maybe I got to go to Sydney.
Feb 11 and 12.
Find myself a husband. My next one is a place to go have a little drink at the bar whenever you're ready, Jinxie. It's the Bijou Bottle Store and Bar on Little Collins Street in the city. I had never heard of it, but some friends, when we were desperate for a drink post the Caroline Polachek Q&A, pre the Caroline Polachek concert, we slid on in and had some like gorgeous cocktails. Very yummy toasted sandwich, really gorge like charcuterie, but not just bread and cheese. Love, love, love. Can't wait to go back. Bijou Bottle Store.
I love that place.
So
I've been
good.
There many times. It's like a good little jewel. Like you kind of forget about it and then you walk past and you're like, oh my God, yes.
Oh yeah. Bijou in such a good corner of the city where a place like that is desperately needed.
Yeah, absolutely. My next one is also drink related, but yeah, I'm on my like not really drinking bullshit, but it's a great soda. It's the white grapefruit mixed soda by Ordinary Soda, which is like a new local, like Australian soda company. I think mm-hmm. they only do two. They do like a white grapefruit, a cola, and a yuzu. You can basically file this under Cute Can. That should be like a label on our highlights of all sources. Anyway, it's just super delicious, and you can get it from Morning Market in Melbourne.
Oh my God, hot tip. Love that. My last one is a recommendation of Casey Johnston's program for chicks like me who are learning to lift.
Swole women.
Swole women. Casey Johnston. Yeah, she's the author of the advice column, Ask a Swole Woman. She has a newsletter these days called She's a Beast on Substack that you can subscribe to if you'd want the paid version. But I am currently, as I mentioned at the top, learning to lift. I'll just improve my strength overall. And I'm following her 12-week program, which is called Lift Off Couch to Barbell. And the way that she, you might be like, lifting's not for me, strength training is not for me, gyms are not for me. And to that I say, chica, I hear you. But I love the way that Casey kind of frames this program, which is essentially, she says, strength is for everyone. No one has more to gain to it than people who have never tried it. And Lift Off is all about making daily life never again feel as physically unmanageable as it does now. And it helps even the staunchest exercise haters learn to confidently go to a gym and build strength for our everyday lives. So it's not about becoming a bodybuilder. It's just about like hurting less and like being able to do more, which is all that I'm about this year.
I'm co-signing BL. She's amazing. I'm also a subscriber to her newsletter. And there was a really great interview with her by Emily Gould. That's how I got, first heard of her.
Yeah.
Really cool. I love this lifting.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It's great. My last one is a long read, I guess that's what we call them. Like, it's just something that you read and that doesn't take you 2 minutes. Just get over it. It's called When I Met the Pope by Patricia Lockwood. It was published by the London Review of Books back in November. And I read it back then and I'm still thinking about it and still sending it to people because I think it's really great. Patricia Lockwood is a poet and she's an author. She wrote No One Is Talking About This. And this is such a good essay detailing a very surprising trip she had to the Vatican. And it details like what she knows about Catholicism, not much, and like what she's going to wear and what the Pope is like and what she's going to like worrying about how she greets the Pope and like who else is in the room. It's really funny and excellent and surprising and weird, like all of her writing. It's really great.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget about our live show. All the details are in the show notes. And we're on Instagram at See Also Podcast. And if you want an ad-free version of this episode, all the other episodes and some bonus stuff too, head over to patreon.com/seeAlso and we'll see you there.
Yeah, we've got another bonus episode coming up in a couple of weeks. Thank you as ever to Samuel Hodge for our imagery and Harvey Sutherland for our original theme and music.
Bye.
Bye.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.